Blog Talk Radio.
Fantasy sports and politics.
Ready to rumble!
You want to talk back? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy sports and politics.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Fantasy Sports Politics. It's the last Saturday of 2012. The Mayans weren't right. A lot of people were wrong. We're still here. Life goes on. I want to say a belated Merry Christmas, and I want to also give you a pre-Happy New Year. Hopefully 2013. Brings better times for you, for me, and all of our families. We saw a lot of death and destruction this year. Hopefully that will not repeat in 2013. I just want to wish everybody good love, good tidings, and we have a great show on tap for you. I got my co-host, the ATM. I know he's been waiting for this day since Sunday, so I'm going to let them have a little fun, but then I got to shut them down, shut them down, like P.E. did. But as we get ready for the end of the NFL regular season, there's one more week of fantasy football for a lot of people, to include myself. Jerry and I will discuss some players that might be of use to you if you are playing in your fantasy football championship this weekend. We'll also discuss the comings and goings on NFL coaches and players. Will AP, J.J. Watt, and Alden Smith make history this weekend? Some say yes, some say no. Eric Dickerson says hell no. But we'll talk about that as well. Jerry might not like the subject, but UFC World Heavyweight title is on the line tonight. His current champion, Junior Dos Santos, takes on the man he beat for the title, Cain Velasquez, in UFC 165. We'll touch upon that. We'll also talk about the controversy that I started. But ultimately, I was vindicated. You call in, dial 347-637-3220, 347-637-3220. You want to get on the air and the conversation, quite sure where there'll be some heated discussion going on today. Or you can listen to the show and check us out in our chat room. It's open right now. Jump in there, type something up, and talk to us. I see Global Professionals in the chat room. I appreciate that, Global Professionals, because we are professional, and we are looking to be taken on by ESPN or somebody. Just pay us. All right. Had this guy on hold for a minute. Go ahead and talk, JT. Go ahead.
No, I'm going to wait until you bring up the subject and set it up, because I have very strong opinions about it. And
you know what? Let's get out the way. Let's get out the way so we can go on the show. How about that?
No problem. You set the scenario up.
All right. I wanted you to just introduce yourself to the people, but that's okay. Mm-hmm.
Hello, people. Let's get this out of the way real quick. Hello, people. Belated Merry Christmas and pre-Happy New Year. It's been a long year for some, short year for some. Some good, some bad. Hopefully it ends good, and it starts. Hopefully it starts good in the new year and ends good in the old year. For some people, it may end on a good note in fantasy, and on a controversial note in fantasy. Controversial note in fantasy.
Oh my gosh! Okay.
I have to say this, since I have this platform real short, I am very disappointed in my host, but I'll let him set it up, and then we go from there.
All right, let's talk about this fantasy controversy that I did create this past week. Now, for those of you that do your fantasy championships in week 16, you may or may not understand or like what I'm about to say. But we do ours in week 17. We do all 17 weeks of the NFL season. Last week was the semifinals in one of the leagues that I run. It's a very lucrative league, and we've been doing it for about 8-9 years now. And I was in a very, 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 very tight matchup with one of the guys that began the league with me. And, you know, it came down actually to the last game of Sunday night last week. And I looked at scores, and I was like, oh, wow, we were separated by like 0.9 or something like that. And I had noticed that one of my players was not accurately credited for a tackle, because we have a different scoring system. We do a PPR, and it's a bunch of different points for this, that, and the third. But needless to say, I noticed that one of my players was not credited with a tackle that he was supposed to get. And I will admit, I did the wrong thing and credited my player with the points that he was supposed to have before the actual system had time to cycle through, you know, Monday or Tuesday night and adjust all the scores. I then, you know, changed it after the person I played said, Vic, you can't do that, da-da-da-da-da. And I was like, yeah, you're right. We'll wait for ESPN to fix it. And he was like, no, that's not it. You're trying to cheat. I'm like, no, I'm not cheating. I'm putting it back. So I put it back to the way it was. And in my, Jerry would like to say, my desperation, and I guess you could call it desperation, I went to the settings and I looked at all the settings. I was like, man, this is too close. You know, I mean, how come they didn't give me the points or whatever? And I looked and I noticed that one of our categories was incorrect. Now, last season in one of our other leagues, there was similar situation, but I didn't know anything about it and nobody brought it up to me. You brought it up to me, Jerry, like mid-season or something.
Mm-hmm.
And by that time, everybody that wasn't in the know was behind the power curve. And I let it ride. But I changed it the following season. Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't do that this time. I noticed the error, and I mistakenly deleted one category and put that back the way it was, but changed a different category because it wasn't supposed to be a negative. It was supposed to be a positive. And, you know, that caused a lot of controversy.
Okay? Extremely a lot.
It did. And I admitted it. I admitted all of this. And I even broke down what was going on. I even told the guy that I was playing, look, the category that I did change didn't affect our game at all because neither of our defenses were in that area. But I also had noticed that his defense was credited for 3 points and wasn't supposed to be credited. And I told him this. I even broke down every point he was supposed to have. And I told him, okay, when they adjust the scores, they're going to take away 3 to 4 points. And they're going to give me 2 points. And this went on throughout the night, whatever the case may be. And I finally said, screw it. You know what? I'm going to bed. And everything had been set the way it was supposed to be. You know, the guy and I even called ESPN, and we got the same information. He posted it on his side. I posted the entire story. But what I didn't know was that he was putting the information out in emails. The reason why I didn't know this is because I had my emails go to a different account.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have access to that account at home. So I didn't know that part was going on. And then I put out the information. I was like, look, this is what happened, da-da-da-da-da. I was wrong. I shouldn't have did. I should have waited, da-da-da-da-da. So I go to bed Sunday night, wake up, and sure enough, what I said was going to happen, happened. And the guy up until yesterday or Thursday, Jerry,
mm-hmm.
he kept sending all these emails out saying, I'm a cheater, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. How can you do this? Show me where the points are. I showed him the entire league. So when I go to work on Wednesday, I see I have 20 or 25 emails from this guy to the entire league calling me a cheater, calling me a crook, calling me all types of stuff. And I like the guy. And as I told him and I told everybody else, I would not intentionally cheat a dude or anybody else. You know, I understand. I've been in situations. Because the first year we did this league, he and I played. And he beat me in the championship, and he beat me by like 3 points. If I wanted to cheat, I would have did it then when money was on the line.
Then is now.
That's fine. But the bottom line is, I did not cheat. I told him what was going to happen. I even broke it down, position by position, what it was supposed to be. And I was right. Now, again, I said, and I say this again, I'm saying it on the radio show, I was wrong for jumping the gun and trying to credit myself before the system had a chance to update.
Mm-hmm.
All the settings are back to what they were. I even gave the guy the 3 points that he said I cheated him out of, and I still won. Because the system, not only did the system give me 2 points, they gave me .4 more points than I didn't even calculate. So, and we found out that ESPN does not do the stats. It's StatTracker.
Yeah, I know
or AccuStat, or whatever it is that does the stats.
Mm-hmm. I know that.
Well, I didn't know that. I thought it was all ESPN, just like he is when we call
him. No.
But to top it off, ESPN puts on every page, scores are not final until Tuesday. Well, apparently Tuesday was Christmas, so they did it earlier. And he was like, well, how come it's so early? I was like, dude, I can't control that. But again, I do admit, I went ahead of myself. Even though I knew I was right, I went ahead of myself and changed it. But I put it back to what it originally was. After, everybody was like, look, you shouldn't have changed that category, even though that category was wrong. Da-da-da-da. You should have asked the league before you changed that category. It didn't affect my game or several other games, because I don't think there was a lot of teams that scored 21 points this past Sunday, or between 18 and 21 points. So it was really a dead category. But because I changed it this late in the game, there was a lot of flack, a lot of issues about it. And I get it. But I apologize about it. I admitted I was wrong. And I was validated in my point scoring that I said was going to be what. But I'm still the villain. So go ahead, land-base me, Jerry.
Well, you ever heard of those P's? The P's. Prior piss-poor planning prevents piss-poor performance. You've heard that before, right?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to add a couple more P's to it. I'm going to add the word panic. Which, in the heat of the competition, you panicked, and for some reason, I hate to say it like this, I love you like a son or a brother, man, but did an idiotic move and actually went into the settings on playoff time and made some changes.
It was a change that didn't affect the game, though.
But it did. See, the point is this.
I know what you're saying.
Because my other P is going to explain what I'm talking about. Even though you thought you were right in doing it, even though you panicked, the plain bottom line is you panicked. I understand you wanted to win. I understand that, and you didn't want ESPN or whoever was handling the stats to screw you out of getting a chance to the championship. I understand that. But you had to let it run its course, and you panicked. And regardless if you justified, you straightened everything out the way it was before, the other P is perception, that you cheated. And that's exactly what I said before. I said, yeah, you panicked.
Yeah.
And now the perception is, because of what all the things that happened, is that you cheated him. And that's going to stay in the back of his mind. I'm telling you right now. You know that.
I know.
You know that.
I know.
And it may affect a few others in the league. I'm not saying it because I know anything, because I don't know any of these guys except for you personally. But I couldn't believe you when you did it. I understand the reason you did it, but I don't understand. Let me put it this way. I understand that you did it, okay? That's not right.
I understand
the circumstances, okay? On not being able to being unsure if you're going to get the numbers right in your matchup. But to go in on playoff time, Vic, you don't do that. You just don't do that, because the other thing I said to perception is, when you start fooling with things like that, especially, and it really doesn't make a difference whether it's free or not, or it's money or not, the perception is you're trying to cheat. You're trying to cheat. Even though you say you're not trying to cheat, even though the numbers play out that you weren't cheating, the perception is there now that because you went in there at the most inopportune time and did that, is like, I couldn't believe it. I was stunned.
Well, Jay,
I was shocked.
I got it. And you know what? Like I said, I should have listened to what I told him, which was, and I did, but I did it late. I did it later in the evening instead of after the games or whatever case may be.
Mm-hmm.
I said, let's wait until the stats are final tomorrow or Tuesday, because I didn't know they were going to do them overnight.
Mm-hmm.
They did anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But the issue of – and I tried to show them where the points were and how they're supposed to be.
Yeah, but by that time when it was shot, I mean, he had it in his mind, because you started fooling around with the settings, changing them back.
Wrong. I know.
But at the same time,
we've seen this happen many, many times before, where your score is one thing, you know, at the end of the game, and by Tuesday or Wednesday, they've changed. Matter of fact, this year, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, last year, Ricky had a change, like,
right
after Thursday.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well,
it was after Thursday.
But it happens. But you can't go in there and start changing things, especially in the playoffs. You're a highly intelligent person. I couldn't believe you did that. I mean, you're setting yourself up, even whether you were right or wrong, you were setting yourself up to look bad.
And you know what? I accepted it. I said, you know what? I was wrong. I just, you know, I fixed what it was supposed to be. And even when I gave him the 3 points he shouldn't have gotten, then it became, how did I get the 2.4?
Yeah.
I said, look, dude, they didn't give the Quill Jackson and Tad Greenway 0.7, and then they gave Harper the credit for that tackle. So that's what it was. But, and again, if you're a league manager on ESPN, you know, and he is a league manager, that you cannot go in and change any individual score. Once a player is locked,
mm-hmm,
you can't do anything to them.
I understand that, but if you change the league settings, it can change scoring.
But that area was not touched. That
well,
was the area that was touched.
Like I said, they look on the league page and see that league manager made league settings changes.
And it says what category too. It says what category.
Yeah, but it doesn't make a difference.
You're right.
It doesn't make a difference, because it's in the playoffs. It was never addressed, and all of a sudden you took it upon yourself to make the moves.
Well, next year.
In the playoff, in the semifinals. So whoever wins in the semifinals goes to the championship at the most crucial time. So you just open yourself.
I know the perception.
You just opened yourself up unnecessarily. I can't believe you did that.
I made one bonehead play, bonehead move.
Humans never cease to amaze me. I mean,
what? Humans
what,
or me?
Human beings, because it's obvious. It's obvious that in my opinion, I would never ever go into a setting, especially in the playoffs. I don't care what level of the playoffs, especially in the playoffs, without if I'm the league manager and don't address the league and take a vote or
whatever,
and let the league know what's going on and just make changes with different personalities from all over the country, whether you know them or not, and especially in the money league, put myself in that situation of scrutiny and criticism, and being suspected of doing something foul just to advance in the playoffs. I would never do that. I would never, Vic. I'm so pissed off at you. I can't believe you did that. Believe you did that.
I made a mistake. It was incorrect. I fixed it. And
no, you haven't fixed it. I told you that before. Fixed it.
I know what y'all want me to do, but that's not going to happen, guy. The reason why that's not going to happen is because I rightfully won.
I understand what you're saying. No. I originally had thought that earlier in the week, but I said, you know, it is what it is. When I looked at everything from my perspective, even though it's a tough loss, I think it's by a point or a point and a half or whatever it is, it's extremely close. In my opinion, he lost.
It's not even a point and a half, Jerry. It's actually, I beat him by 4 points. But I gave him 3 points after he was whining about it, and I said, "Look, dude, you're not supposed to get these three points. You're not supposed to." And I gave it to him just to shut him up.
Yeah, that won't shut him up because the only way he's going to shut him up is to put him in the playoffs. And you and I both know that. And you and I both, I have to agree that even though he was bitching about you cheating. And it was a close contest. He lost legitimately, even though whatever took place, in my opinion, and I'm not saying this because you're my friend, in my opinion, he lost legitimately. It's just the fact that things happen from now, from over the weekend, the past weekend, that it shouldn't have happened, but the overall result would have been the same. He would have lost.
Yeah. I mean, again, I gave him the points, I still won by, like, 0.9 or whatever the case may be. Because I told him, look, dude. Anyway, the bottom line was this. I made a mistake. I corrected my mistake. I laid out all the evidence, laid out all the guidelines for why I was right in the scoring. Maybe I wasn't justified in changing when it changed. I should have waited, like I said. I shouldn't have jumped the gun. I already admitted that. But the bottom line is, with the points that he says I stole from him, he still lost. Without them, he has a bigger margin of loss. And all the stuff that was put out on the emails, you know, I go to work Wednesday, and I'm reading all this. I'm like, for real, Mark? Are you serious, dude? I mean, we've been in this thing for like 8-9 years. I've never, ever, ever cheated anybody, even when people have asked me to make corrections for them because they wanted this person and that person. I never did that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you're gonna put me out there like that? That's why I sent the other email about me being pissed. Because, you know, I've done a lot. I've done a lot. And I did one bad thing that, you know, I should have held my horses on. And I get called a cheater and all these other things. So it is what it is. I mean, I didn't call him a cheater when he brought in 5 guys and he controlled 2 of them.
What?
You know, he says he didn't, but there was there were certain things that were, when you're trading back and forth between two different teams, you know, and you're telling me this guy, you know, is gone here, gone there. Nah, I didn't accuse him of cheating then. Even though I know when Ricky and Dave, they flat out said, y'all are cheating. And I was like, no, they're not. I kept it open. And he never denied it. But I kept an open eye on it. But I digress. Mm-hmm. We spent like 30 minutes talking about the controversy.
Is it really? Oh, yeah, okay. but I had to air it out, man, because I was highly pissed at you. I couldn't believe you did that. That mean that was like, come on, Vic. You're too smart for that. You're too smart for that.
I said I was wrong, but I was wrong, but I was right.
And it's still a game, regardless. It's still a game.
Yeah, it's still a game. But anyway, since we're on the topic of fantasy football and championships, let's go right into our next topic. Which is, you know, some plays this week. You know, I'm in a bad situation in the championship game because Matt Ryan definitely isn't going to play a full game.
Right?
And
I have Russell
Wilson and Michael Vick. Now, I know Michael Vick is going to play, and he's going to start. What he's going to give me, I don't know. Also know Russell Wilson might play the whole game. Going against St. Louis, but I don't know if they're going to let him throw the ball or what, because they're going to end up playing. If they win and San Fran loses, they'll win the West.
Mm-hmm.
I so wish we would have bet early on in the year. I love being right. I'm going to tell you guys that. I love being right.
You know, I'm very surprised. Let me put it this way. The emergence of Russell Wilson saved you, because I didn't expect Russell Wilson to play as well
as he
did.
But I told you, guys. I told you he was going to make the difference in the summertime. I told you when they said he was going to start. I told you he was going to be the difference.
Well,
but
who do you have as quarterbacks?
Right now, Matt Ryan, Michael Vick, and Russell Wilson. And, you know, Vick goes against the Giants and Russell Wilson versus St. Louis. And, you know, Matt Ryan will probably play a quarter, maybe a half. And I can't leave my chance up to him, because he's got Tony Romo, who's going against the Redskins.
Wow.
And Romo's going to throw for a lot of yards.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
So your choice is, in my opinion, your choice is Michael Vick or Russell Wilson. It ain't Matt Ryan, because Matt Ryan is not going to play the whole game. He doesn't need to.
But everybody else on my team does. And that's my only sticking point, you know. Right now I have Vick in, but I'm contemplating putting Russell Wilson in.
Why?
I gotta see what happens tomorrow pregame, because, you know, if he's gonna play the whole game, I might put Russell Wilson in, because he's more deliberate with the ball. Michael Vick's playing for a job next year, which makes him dangerous, which means Vick might run and give me a lot more points if he doesn't have anything, you know.
Vick hasn't played in a while, and he's playing the Giants, and the Giants are desperate against Russell Wilson, who's playing home against the Rams, who the last time he played and didn't play, he didn't play against the Rams too well.
So
you have a dilemma between Russell Wilson and Michael Vick, because I think Matt Ryan's not going to give you the points that you need.
Oh, I know. And the rest of my team is solid. AP's going for a rushing record. Jamal Charles is trying to, you know, another guy coming off of ACL, but is not getting as much pub, because, you know, AP's going for a record. But Jamal Charles has 1,400 yards rushing. He's third in the league in rushing.
Yep. He has over 1,400 yards, yeah.
And, you know, he's looking to get 1,700 yards coming off of an ACL injury.
Yeah.
I got him and AP at running back. Victor Cruz, I don't know if I want to keep him in there, but it really isn't anything on the waiver wire. I got Steven Johnson on my bench, and I don't know if I want to play him. But I've got Pierre Garçon in. I was hoping Gronkowski would play, because I knew that they would give him a tune-up before the playoffs.
Don't look at it.
Catch a lot of balls, but he's not going to play.
Don't look for that.
Yeah, they're not. So I'm playing Greg Olsen, who did terrible versus New Orleans defense last time they played. But recently he's been doing well. Then I've got Greenway, and I've got DeQuil Jackson. And that's another toss-up. But I played DeQuil Jackson going against they're going against a passing defense. I can't remember who it is. Cleveland. No, Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Pittsburgh. Or do I go with Derek Johnson, who's going against Denver? You know,
well, Denver's a passing offense too.
I know. That's what I'm saying, guy. Normally, if those two guys are going against a run-based defense, they'll give me 20 points easily. 20 points easily.
I don't think you can go wrong with either one of those guys, because both of them have. Well, let me put it this way. I think Pittsburgh probably going to throw the ball more than Denver is.
Oswald is going to come in. Well, is I know Peyton's going to start, but how long is Peyton going to play? That's the question.
You know, I'm not sure. You're talking about what's the coach of Denver?
Fox.
I think Peyton's going to play as long as he wants to play.
He's not going to play that whole game.
They can still get the number one seed, you know.
Yeah, they need a couple of things to take place.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to put Peyton Manning out there knowing that he's gone through the year. Great, fine, no issues. But there's that off chance, and then
mm-hmm.
I'm going to the playoffs with Brock Osweiler as my starting quarterback. I'll let Brock come in maybe the second quarter and finish the game out, hand the ball off to Ronnie Hillman and some other folks, because I don't think Noshawn Marino is going to get that much running time, because last week he almost buckled his knee. You know, he almost
mm-hmm.
had a knee injury himself
mm-hmm.
last week.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I really think Ronnie Hillman is the guy that is going to get a lot of work this week, along with Brock and some other folks, just to, you know, give him the experience and keep, you know, Peyton, anybody that's injury prone or that could be a devastating injury to the team, they're not going to play more than a quarter. I see Demaryius Thomas and Eric Decker playing a quarter. Then Brandon Stokely and whoever their other receiver is comes in and takes over. Joel Dreesen and all those other guys, they might play the whole game. The tight ends might play the whole game. I think since that defense is kind of old, they'll play some of the younger guys. And they're playing Kansas City, so I think they think they can beat Kansas City with their backups. But that's part of my dilemma. And on my other, I got Ron Harper playing my quarterback spot. I've got Roman Harper.
Mm-hmm.
I've got the Steelers defense, and I think I got Bryant from Atlanta. Now, here's another thing. Do I want to get Chris Redman? Because if Chris Redman's backing up Matt Ryan, he's going to have a field day throwing the ball against Tampa. You know, because Tampa has a terrible secondary. But I know Matt Ryan's going to kick some field goals, so that's my team and my issue.
I'm looking at your one of the positions that maybe a possible, and you know what? You're gonna have to listen to the show tomorrow, because there's a couple positions.
You ought to be at church, dude.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's why I haven't been calling in.
You in church at 7 o'clock in the morning?
Dude, we're getting up, getting ready to go to church, man. Church begins at 8:30.
Well, I'll give you a little caveat right now then. One of the sleepers I see this weekend because of him coming back is Brett Celek against the Giant defense. I think he's going to have a pretty big day. I don't like Greg Olsen against New Orleans, because New Orleans is one of the better defenses against the tight end. Last time Greg Olsen only had 2 points. Against the New Orleans Saints. So even though New Orleans is a bad defense and wide receivers, they cover the tight end quite well. That's one of the positions that you may want to look at. This is the last game of the season, so there's players that you can dump to get a tight end if he's sitting out there. I'm not sure if he's sitting out there or not. I haven't looked at the tight end. Brent Celek
is sitting. Dennis Peter, who I might want to play, but I don't know how much he's going to play versus Cincinnati, though, dude.
Brent Celek is sitting out there.
He is.
And Michael Vick and Brent Celek have a pretty good rapport with each other. Plus, the fact is that I think you have to look at what happens with Jeremy Maclin. And I told you Jeremy Maclin was going to have a pretty good year near the end of the year once Nick Foles decided, because everybody was pretty much banged up, and he was the only receiver that Foles was getting a rapport with, and not the guys he was playing on a practice squad. That may have happened the first week. But when he got accustomed to Jeremy Maclin started having some pretty decent days. But Jeremy Macklin's banged up. So even though he returned to full practice on Friday and he should be good to go on Sunday, you never know, because he tweaked his knee in Wednesday's practice and he sat out Thursday. So he's shaky. But even when Jeremy Maclin was in there, even when DeSean Jackson was in there, Brent Celek was one of Michael Vick's favorite targets. And I think him being back, they're going to try to get the ball out to him real quick, because Mike Vick wants to make a big impression for whatever team he goes to, or if he stays there and Chip Kelly shows up with the read option, which would be a good fit for Michael Vick. So he's got a lot going on. Giants have a lot to play for, but I think the Giants have lack of a better few words, shot their load a few weeks ago, and they're spent.
Yeah, and Gronk is expected to play in a limited role tomorrow.
I wouldn't trust him at all.
Well, I'll say this. With me picking him first in this league, because he was my first-round pick, and by the way, I want to thank you for your second- and third-round pick next year. I still remember our deal.
What do you mean second and third? No. It wasn't two picks.
Yes, it was.
What are you talking about? What wasn't two picks?
We're gonna go back.
I never made the playoffs.
I know. And since you're in the top, since you're in the bottom part of the thing, remember, it was if you made the playoffs, I would get your first round pick and your third round pick. That was the deal. But since you didn't make the playoffs and you're in the bottom half of the league, I get your second and third.
Oh, we got to go back to that, because that's wow. Wow.
Yeah, that was part of the deal. It's either your second and fourth or your second and third, but I get your second round pick next
year.
Wow.
I got to go back to whatever show that was. That's wow.
Well, we can go back. Don't even try to play. Don't play simple Simon on me today.
No, I'm not playing simple. But I'm just saying. That must have been a very cocky way time of this year. And I'm talking that guy kind of Ghani Gugu and did that. That's second and third. We'll have to go back. I'll go back in the archives between now and tomorrow and find out when that was done. That had to be before the season.
Thank you so very much for making that trade with me earlier in the year.
What trade was that?
Oh, you know, when we traded draft picks and consummated this deal. You know, so.
What?
You allowed me to get Gronk, AP, Jamal, Matt Ryan, you know, Stevie off of the waiver wire.
Oh, you're talking about when I took your first round pick, and then you had what, 2 and 3 or 2 and 5 or whatever it was?
Yeah, 2 and 3.
Uh huh. Was it so 2 and 3?
I had your 2 and 3.
Really?
Yes, I did.
Well, whatever.
See, look at you. Old folk home. Old folk syndrome. That's what it is. Old folk syndrome.
I have a lot of leagues, and I don't remember every trade I make. At the time. I know in the last couple of years, last couple of fantasy seasons, we made first round trades. So I'm looking forward to making another first round trade with you, but that's okay.
Oh, no. No need for me to trade my first round this time, because I'm getting your second already and your third. I mean, I'll take your fourth if you don't want to get your third, but I'm getting your second already.
I gotta listen to the archives because I can't believe I made a move like that.
Oh yeah, buddy. Anyway, so since you're gonna talk about tomorrow, you know, last minute fantasy football, starting six and hitting gems for those that do play in week 17. Let's get into actual football. And let's talk about these records. Now, two guys can set the sack record tomorrow. One might have it for a minute, and then the other one gets it. It's kind of funny. Excuse me. Sorry about that. We're talking about Alden Smith and J.J. Watt. Now, here's Alden Smith. I want to get him the sack record from Michael Strahan.
I think so. You know, really, I just got to go out there and play free and, you know, not really think about it. And, you know, if it's meant to happen, it'll happen, and I'm going to play hard regardless.
And now let's talk to J.J. Watt on attaining the same record.
It would obviously mean a lot. But first and foremost to me is the win and to secure home field advantage for our team. And then obviously I'm thinking about the record second. But obviously my ideal day would be to go out there, get the win, and get the sack record. It would be a huge honor. Obviously that's a big deal, and obviously only in my second year I would be very honored.
So J.J. Watt, last time they played Indianapolis, he had three sacks. All he needs is 2.5.
Yep.
2.5 to get the record. But Alden Smith is breathing down his neck, I believe. They play at the same time, so it could be a short-lived sack record for either one of these guys. So we'll see what happens. But is it possible that both of them tie and share the record, or do either one of them get the record?
Well, I'm gonna be probably accused of being biased, but I think J.J. Watt's got a better chance of getting the sack record. And keeping it. I think Alden Smith will come close. He's playing, what, Arizona, if I'm not mistaken?
Yeah, which is easy pickings for him, too.
Yeah, which is the, I think, the second or the worst team allowing sacks next to Green Bay. I think these guys are in a prime position, and they should have no excuse on both of them breaking the record. But I think, J.J. Watt has probably had a better chance of having the overall record with a close second to Alden Smith. But we'll see what happens. It should be pretty interesting. I'm going to be all over the place watching these games. So.
Okay.
It's a good week watching football.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, the last game of the season. I mean, that's one of the things that Roger Goodell wanted to do. He wanted to make the last game of the NFL season mean something. And in actuality, it might not have. It didn't have to end up this way. But division games affecting division champions as well as playoffs and, you know, records is what's happening this year in the NFL. We're also talking about a record that's lasted 28 years. And it's funny how AP's number is 28, and Eric Dickerson took the rushing record from O.J. Simpson. He took it from O.J. in 12, and it's a possibility that, you know, AP will take it away from Eric in 28.
Mm-hmm.
So let's discuss that. Eric Dickerson says he doesn't want that record to go away.
Yeah, I saw that. That was pretty funny.
I mean, you know, he's already in the Hall of Fame, but I understand he wants to leave his lasting legacy, you know, something that people can reach out and say, look, you know, this is what he did, you know. But, does AP have an actual shot at it, since Green Bay actually has something to play for?
Green Bay has something to play for, division rival. They can keep the Vikings out of the playoffs if they lose. I think if that's the case, I think the Vikings lose, they're out of the playoffs. The division rival, and it's a game that means something. If I'm not mistaken, Green Bay can also get the number two seed. I think they're number three right now.
Yes.
They can get the number two seed if a certain scenario is played out. So, with that being said, I'd have to think that they're going to try to get AP the record. But you know what? I don't know. I don't think he gets the record. I think he gets 160, 150 yards, which is still a lot. He gouged him for 210 in Minnesota. I mean, in Green Bay. Now he's playing on his home turf. He would have to have another 200-yard game. He's had
208 yard speed, Jack.
208, yeah. And I don't know, man. I mean, I know they're going to give him the ball a lot. I know they're going to stack the line against him. He only got 86 with 25 carries against Houston, which is a much different defense. Green Bay is going to try their best to beat Minnesota and not let AP beat them with over 208 yards. So.
Well, I agree with you. I think Green Bay is going to come out throwing the ball. Jordy Nelson is coming back. So that means there's another person because they just lost Randall Cobb. He's doubtful for the game.
Yeah.
You know, so you've got Jordy Nelson, James Jones, and Jermichael Finley, along with Ryan Grant running the ball. So they can do one of two things. They can try to, and I think this is Green Bay's philosophy. They're going to come out and throw, and try to run the score up and take AP out of the game and take the spirit of Minnesota Vikings out of the game. Because I'll say by the third quarter, midway through third quarter, if Green Bay's up by like 20, they're going to just run the ball Green Bay and try to give AP the record because they do not have a viable passing attack. They don't. They really don't have a viable passing attack. Jerome Simpson has not panned out for them. Of course, Percy Harvin is gone, and that would have been a good combo for those two, but Percy Harvin is gone. Kyle Rudolph can't do it all by himself. And the rest of the receivers up there, they're underperforming. Now, Christian Ponder is not that type of quarterback that can just sit back in the pocket and pick you apart. He shouldn't have been their number one overall pick a couple years ago. He shouldn't have went so high in the draft, but he did. AP, he can get his yards. But I think if Minnesota can stop the passing attack of Green Bay, he'll do it easily. But if he doesn't, if they don't, it's going to be a long day, and Eric Dickerson will be right. He'll keep his record. So I just think that's the case there. It all depends on, you know, who gets the ball first. I'll put it this way. If Minnesota gets the ball first and they get a couple first downs and AP's running really well and then Green Bay has to answer with a score of their own, he has a shot. But if Green Bay gets the ball first and they score first, it's going to be a long, tough day for AP in that record. That's my thought process on it. So, you know, let's move on. We still got some basketball to talk about, but I'm going to finish up on football.
You suck at basketball,
Michael
man.
Huh?
You suck at basketball. Oof.
Dude, I know this. Be quiet.
You suck at basketball.
Shut up. We got two things to talk about in football, and then we're going to get to basketball real quick.
Not one, but two freaking games. You suck in basketball.
I told you, I'm not a fantasy basketball guy. I told you.
That's quite obvious, man. Wow.
You know what? I don't want to talk to you about that no more. Let's move on.
Go ahead, man.
That's going to help me win my championship this week, my second of three, because I'm in another championship match at work. That's a two-week championship series. and I'm already up 97-78. So, and I'm projected to get 123 points in that league.
Mm-hmm.
But Michael Vick says he's grateful to start this final game.
You know, just want to finish strong, and I'm just thankful that I got another chance to go out there and play. Not just for myself, but to play once again with my teammates.
So Andy Reid says, you know, Nick Foles broke his hand. He finished the game last week.
Mm-hmm.
This week, Andy's gone after this game. Vic is most likely gone after this game. But as you said, if Chip Kelly comes in, it might be different. And there's a report that Mike Vick might restructure his contract just so he can stay in freaking Philly. But again,
I saw a report that he refuses. He's unwilling to restructure his deal.
Oh, that's not what I saw. Okay, yeah. I mean, we'll see what happens. But I think you send him in Jacksonville, and I said this on I forgot which show I said it on that we did. I think it was Thursday's show. That he sent him into Jacksonville, that'll be a great opportunity for him and
for
our
who?
Team, for Michael Vick. Now, somebody, I believe it was one of the fantasy guys on NFL Network, the fantasy folks talking, they said if you put Michael Vick in a place like Arizona, if you put him in Arizona, Larry Fitzgerald will have a monster year just like Calvin Johnson. And by the way, Calvin Johnson didn't have the Madden jinx, so the curse hopefully is broken.
Mm-hmm.
But if you put him in Arizona, that's pretty potent. What do you think about that real quick?
Well, hey, anywhere but where he's at right now would probably be a good landing spot for him right now. Arizona. Now, you know what? I understand he's got Larry Fitzgerald there. He doesn't have a running game per se. And the offensive line, like we talked about earlier, is one of the worst in the leagues in allowing quarterback sacks. Are you going to take Michael Vick and put him in Arizona, getting beat up worse than he's gotten beat up in Philly? I don't know, man. Jacksonville maybe.
They'll work on the offensive line. They'll work on the offense.
Yeah, but they've been saying that for how long? And it's been bad for a few seasons now. It's not like this is the first season that's been bad. They've had issues with the offensive line for at least the last two seasons. And supposedly they got an offensive line guru there with Russ Grimm. He's probably history. He's probably going to get somebody else in there, even though Ken Whisenhunt and he are pretty close. I think if Ken Whisenhunt still stays there, I think he's going to have to get rid of some of his pals and get somebody in there that's going to take his place, that's going to be able to turn around the offensive line and the quarterback and whatever else. So
I tell you what, last week I said I think Whisenhunt is done. I think if the right coach comes, like if Andy Reid, if they reach out to Andy Reid and he goes down there, Whisenhunt is done. Because Andy Reid is from that area, if I'm not mistaken. Or he's from San Diego.
He's from California.
He's going to San Diego. Reid will be with Phillip Rivers, and that'll be perfect. Phillip likes to throw the ball, so does San Diego. Ryan Matthews will be done. That'll be a perfect match for Andy Reid in San Diego. In a weak division, the AFC West, he'd have to deal with Peyton Manning, but I think that would be a good fit for Andy Reid. If he goes to Arizona, I think Michael Vick follows him. If not, it works out perfectly for Kevin Call because it'll be the same system that he ran in Philly. They'll just have to upgrade the offensive line. But, again, I don't think Whisenhunt is out. If he is, though, those are one of the places I see Andy Reid landing. But it is what it is. We got a call from the 24. I think it's my cousin, if I'm not mistaken. But we got one more football soundbite to talk about, which is the Giants. I'm going to bring my cousin in after we play the soundbite. from Samari Roll or Antoine Roll on the Giants' play and how terrible it's been.
You know, you got to go out there and you got to play ball. You know, going out there and putting the performance that we did for the past 2 weeks, you know, it's, there's nothing to smile about or even grin about, you know, at that point. You know, it's disappointing. And, you know, we're a better team. And we know we're a better team. But, you know, what we've shown the last 2 weeks is that, you know, we're not such good of a team.
Shut up. You suck.
Really? Wow.
Really. They suck.
The Giants have severely underachieved this year. And, you know, I agree with you that they suck. But he's right. There's nothing to grin about. There's nothing to laugh about. They just need to do better.
They knew that the last 2 weeks, and they sucked.
I got it. They're going to Philly. I mean, Philly's coming to them at home. And it's an opportunity for them to step up and do some good things because they need to win, but they need a lot of help. You know, you guys talked about it Thursday night. I'm going to bring my cousin in right now and ask him, what does he think about what Antoine Roll said about the New York Giants and their team defense?
Don't feel good when you pressed against the glass, do it.
Oh, God. The show just
it
went
down. It
don't
feel good. Man, your show's ratings just skyrocketed. What you talking about? Let me tell you, the Giants.
All right, well, look at here.
We got 33 minutes left of live there. You said 30 minutes or 30 seconds?
33 minutes left of live there.
Oh, okay.
So we got a couple things we're going to talk about. I'm glad you're on the line because I'm going to transition straight into basketball right now. And a surprise firing of Avery Johnson. P.J. Carlissimo is now the head coach of the New Jersey Nets. And Darren Williams.
Choke out coach.
Yeah. Why you got to bring up old stuff? Jeez. All right.
I mean,
anyway.
He choked him for a reason, man. I don't know.
All right, well,
he was wrong for choking him, but, you know, he choked him for a reason. But go ahead, bro. Go ahead.
Like I said, he just went down. You know. Darren Williams of the New Jersey Nets said the firing of Avery Johnson took him by surprise.
I mean, off guard, you know, because, you know, he was just coach of the month last month. And, you know, we did struggle the last, you know, 13 games or so. But, you know, I felt like we have a great team.
The New Jersey Nets are 14-14, and if you recall, when the Russian billionaire took over the team, he said they will be a championship team within the second year. This is the second year of his ownership. 14-14 isn't cutting it. So, what do we think about that? And I'll let you guys talk about it. Then I'll let you hear what PJ Carlissimo says about how he got the job.
Russian billionaire with no patience, with high expectations and unrealistic goals at the present time with the team he's put together so far. You started off, your coach was coach of the month for October and November with 11-4 record. You hit on some small, hard times, and now you can the guy. What happens with the next coach? With either P.J. Carlissimo, if they don't win it 2 or 3 games, is he going to get rid of them and put somebody else in? Was this going to be a carousel of coaches before he gets a coach that he's satisfied with?
I can tell you.
That's a typical – I've dealt in business with people of the Slovak origin, and they're very demanding – and sometimes unrealistic in their expectations of what they are getting. And
he's made this an ethnic issue.
No, I'm just saying.
Okay.
Different ethnic people, for lack of a better word, have been brought up and accustomed to different things in their certain part of the country. They come to the United States thinking they can do the same thing, and it don't work that way. So, and this is what's happening here.
Well, Jerry, here's the deal.
Yeah.
When he bought the team, he originally wanted Mark Jackson. Mark Jackson went on the New Jersey Nets, because he was the broadcast for New Jersey Nets at the time, and said he's quitting, and he's going to be the coach of the Nets. Well, because he did that move, the guy said, no, I'm not going to hire you. So then he goes back to ABC, and now he's the coach of Golden State. The word is he wants Jackson to coach the team. Now, that's what the word is.
Too
is
bad.
Is that a good move, Michael?
I think this dude is an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
He's very unrealistic with this. I don't care what his ethnicity is.
Right.
This was a bad move.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bad move. I mean, 14-14. Nah, you at least let the coach play it out. Any of these NBA teams that be getting rid of the coaches in the middle of the year, mid season, I think it's always a bad move. You always wait until the end of the season, reevaluate, retool. That's how you do it. You get rid of it. You replace your coach and all that kind of carrying on. But they just you know, if they lose the locker room and you know a couple of these players have a temper tantrum, you know the coaches is out. But this is a clear case of stupidity, because you know I'm not one of these people that believes in addition by subtraction, and this is some addition by subtraction nonsense. I mean, because looking at that roster, no. Sorry, dude. Sorry. No. And the way the game is played in the NBA today, if you don't have one or two or maybe even three of the top 10 players on your team, you ain't even contending. You ain't even contending.
Well, let me
so,
ask this.
You know, you need to stop it.
Let me ask this. Could it be the fact that Dwight Howard didn't want to play for Avery Johnson and they couldn't make the deal? Could that be part of the reason as to why, you know, he has such a short leash with the team, Jerry?
You know, look at what's going on in L.A. They're not too happy with Dwight Howard in L.A., with Kobe Bryant and company, with a winning tradition in L.A., and let me tell you something. Dwight Howard, I hate to say it, but and I had a feeling about this last year. I think he's a cancer in the locker room. I hate to say it, but I really believe that. I think he if he doesn't get his way, makes for problems. And that's one of the reasons why Orlando had to get rid of him, because he was too wishy-washy. One day he wants to stay, one day he wants to leave. One day he wants to stay, one day he wants to leave. I want to get rid of the coach. No, I don't want to get rid of the coach. I want to get rid of the coach. No, I don't want to get rid of the coach. You know, I think he's a cancer in the locker room, because the fact is if he doesn't have it his way, he'll pout. And his play will show it.
Right. I only slightly disagree with you, Jerry. I do agree with you on the part where, you know, if he doesn't get his way, that he'll pout. But I think that the issue in L.A. is more systemic. You know, it's the system. It's the coach. It's that coach. I'm not saying that Mike is a bad coach. It's just that he's not a good coach for the players that he has. He's never been good with any big men ever. I think Dwight.
They can't run.
No, they can't. They need to be. It needs to be some kind of hybrid. You know what I mean? He needs to be able to work through that. And Mike is not the type of dude that's not going to do it. He wants to do it the way he wants to do it. And it's just whack. But I think the move that Howard made to go to L.A. was more big fish, big pond type of thing. I think it would probably have been better for him to go with Avery, because Avery's a defensive guy. You know what I mean? Straight, you know, out of San Antonio, he would have worked with that big man. He would have worked with him. It would have probably been a better fit for him, you know,
right.
as a system.
Right.
But I don't think it was a good market for him to go to. I think it was a horrible market to go to. I would advise any of none of those players to sign with that team. I don't care what Jay-Z say.
Let me ask this then. Did Dwight Howard sign an extension with the Lakers? Because I know he's on like a 1 or 2 year contract deal. Did he sign an extension with them?
I don't know. I doubt it.
I don't think so.
I highly doubt it.
So the experiment is only for a year or two, and then he can be free to go to New Jersey and go with a Russian billionaire, which is cool.
He's not going there, Vic. That's a terrible market for him to go to. That's a bad business move.
I don't think it is, but
oh my God! And you got a degree in business? Really? You can't see
that? Can I explain it to you?
I'm listening.
All right, Brooklyn and New York. They're very up-tempo, high-paced areas. Everybody loves the Knicks. They're trying to make a rivalry out of the Brooklyn Nets now and the New York Knicks. You put Dwight Howard as a centerpiece of the Nets with Darren Williams and I think it's Joe Smith or
Joe Johnson.
Are you talking systemic or are you talking business? Because these two are not relative.
I'm talking business.
No, you're talking systemic. Listen. You go and you fuse in the two.
I'm about to show you why. Because Carmelo right now is the moneymaker for the New York Knicks. Carmelo Anthony is the face of that franchise. Okay, New York, whatever. But this year, he turned on his defense, and he's becoming a more complete player. However, you put Dwight Howard in that same pond, and you let him be the dominant force for your team, you can treat it just like Karl Malone and John Stockton up in New York as opposed to Utah. You go to New York, you go to the Knicks, you got Amari Stoudemire always hurt. Who else is on that team? You got the Over the Hill gang playing for the Knicks. It's a lot of things there for the Knicks to say, well, I can get a good market. But if you give a bona fide big man the starring role like Patrick Ewing had in New York, you're talking about some big stuff going on there. Yeah, John Starks was cool for the Knicks, but you put a bona fide big man in that market, business booms. I know I'm referring to the 80s on this, but, you know, the 80s and early 90s on this, but it can work. All you got to do is build around him, and they've already got the parts. All you got to do is put the big boy there and let him be the new Patrick Ewing in that area. That's all I'm saying.
I love you, cuz, but you've been watching too much WWF, Slim. There's only three teams that really matter in the NBA. There's three of them as far as business. It's only three. That's Boston.
The Knicks, the Lakers, and who?
That's the Lakers and the Knicks. That's it. Everybody else does not matter. Not in a business standpoint. But you know, of course, you got LeBron down there in Miami, and you know you're gonna have a certain talent bring up another team. But those are the three. Those are the three major pieces of the NBA. Those are the marquee teams of the NBA. Period. You take a big man like Dwight Howard, and you put him in Los Angeles. That is an extremely great business move for him, and he can compete with LeBron on being a global icon automatically. I mean, you just put him. It's just like insert here. But you have Brooklyn that's kind of like building right now. And I get what you're saying and whatnot. He could be the piece that grows it and all like that. That's all nice and fine and dandy. That youngin' want the money now. He wants the money and the system now. That's why he's been so wishy-washy. You know what I mean? He got agents talking in his ear one way, and he's thinking another way. He's looking at the money. He's looking at the system. He don't know what the hell he want to do, because his little young butt been in there since he was like 18, 19. I remember when he was yakking it up, talking about how he was a virgin and all that kind of carrying on. He don't talk like that no more, do he? Nope. Dude, it's L.A. Is L.A. He is where he needs to be as far as business, but he's not where he needs to be as far as the system. They need to get him a coach that can cohesively work with him and Kobe Bryant, both of them, and be able to transition from Kobe, you know what I mean, and satisfy Dwight Howard, period. They need to get it. And this guy, Mike, I can't pronounce his last name. I just call him Mike. I don't think he's got it. He couldn't even match Carmelo. Carmelo threw him out of New York. Come on, man.
D'Antoni, you're talking about.
Huh? Yeah, D'Antoni. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But look. The bottom line is this. I understand what you're saying about the star power of L.A., but when if Dwight Howard isn't the focal point or the centerpiece of a team, it's not going to work for him. As long as Kobe's there, Dwight Howard can't be the main guy to draw the money for the Lakers.
That's why I said
to
you.
The money for the
Nets. That's why I said to you. It's the problem is systemic. They have to get a coach in there and a system in there in place to satisfy Howard and also help transition from Kobe to him so he can grow and be in there and they can win all at the same time. This guy, D'Antoni is not the dude. He's not that guy. He's not. He's just going to come in there and run that offense and just do what he, my God, this fool had Jeremy Lin in there and everybody was blaming Carmelo for the demise of Jeremy Lin. I'm like, really? Come on, man, get out of here. Get out of that nonsense.
Well, I mean, I thought it was interesting to read that the owner wanted to get Mark Jackson from Golden State, the coach of the team now. I was going to play the P.J. Carlissimo soundbite, but there's no need to do that. I want to spend the next 15 minutes, because we got about 17 minutes left. I want to spend the next 15 minutes discussing a topic that's near and dear to Jerry's heart and mine. UFC 155.
What?
Look.
You're talking about MMA?
Yeah.
Go right ahead, man.
You better listen and chime in, guy.
Say hey, what? I don't hear what you're saying.
I know you don't. Stop being a jerk. All right, so.
Go ahead.
The World Heavyweight title is on the line tonight.
Mm-hmm.
The man that beat up Brock Lesnar, Cain Velasquez, and became the World Heavyweight Champion, then defended his title versus Junior Dos Santos, and in 8 seconds got knocked out and lost the title to Junior Dos Santos. Neither man has fought anyone else since that moment about a year and a half ago. Cain Velasquez got injured, and he couldn't participate in a fight. Junior Dos Santos was supposed to fight Roy Nelson or somebody like that, but it didn't take place. So now, tonight, the rematch. Junior Dos Santos is from Brazil, and he is he's got a big right hand, he's okay with his Brazilian jiu-jitsu, but he's more of a punching boxer type guy. He can do a little kickboxing, but his main focus are his fists. Now, Cain Velasquez is a NCAA two-time All-American heavyweight champion out of Arizona. He's very quick, very fast. He has good punching power as well, but his main focus is wrestling. So his hope is to get this into a longer fight. I believe Junior Dos Santos went five rounds with a fighter by the name of Czech, not five rounds, three rounds with a fighter by the name of Czech Congo. Chet Congo is this big black guy out of France who's a very accomplished MMA fighter. Chet Congo wobbled and almost beat Junior Dos Santos several years ago, and it actually resurrected Chet Congo's career. I think if Cain Velasquez gets this fight into the third or fourth round, because they do five rounds for the championship in all main events, he has a chance of running down Junior Dos Santos and beating his butt and getting his title back. Why is this important? The heavyweight division is a very rich division in the UFC. Unfortunately, you have a couple of other fighters in like the light heavyweight and the middleweight divisions that have been dominating the sport as of late. This goes back to our boxing discussion, Jerry, how I said how, you know, after Mike Tyson, there really wasn't a dominant heavyweight to carry the sport. Well, in the MMA arena right now, it's pretty much the same thing. If these two men have an excellent fight and they do a round three, it'll give the heavyweight division a little bit more validity and a lot more, I guess, lifeblood for UFC. Because for the longest time, the heavyweight division was their bread and butter, because all their stars were in the heavyweight division. They've got a couple good fights. Also, it's the last fight of the year for UFC, but their next pay-per-view in February, women are headlining the card with some guys that are heavyweights and light heavyweights doing the undercard. I want to get your thoughts on that. I know you kind of like women's boxing, and these women that are fighting, one of them is she's a brick. She's a brick. She's a brick house. Okay? But she will knock your block off, and she specializes in submission. She only has one win by KO. All of her wins have been by submission, and I think she only lost one time. But give me your thoughts on that February fight, as well as what you think a good fight in the heavyweight division might end up being.
Well, I'm looking at UFC since you dragged me into this. I'm looking at this thing that you're talking about, Junior Dos Santos and
Cain Velasquez.
Yes, Cain Velasquez. The winners of these two guys supposedly are still in, and I'm looking at this article here, that they're in the shadow of Alistair Overeem. I guess he's the consensus heavyweight champion right now.
No. Alistair Overeem is the number one contender. Junior Dos Santos is the champion. Alistair Overeem, he was supposed to fight Junior Dos Santos, but he got popped for a performance-enhancing drug, and he was a K-1. He's a three-time K-1 kickboxing champion who is extremely good with his feet but limited on the ground.
Okay. So after this fight, depending on who wins it, is since he's the number one contender, is he the next in line to whether Junior Dos Santos keeps his title or he's beaten by Cain Velasquez? Overeem is going to be taking the next step to get the championship. Am I right about that?
It should be, but if it's a good fight and Cain Velasquez wins, they're going to probably try to make more money and do a fight, a third fight between the two, and then prolong and give Alistair Overeem a tune-up match, because he's been out for a little while since his performance-enhancing drug suspension.
Okay. Well, I'm not too attuned to UFC or MMA, whatever you want to call it. I'm just reading up on a couple of these things here. And is this supposed to take place today?
Yes, tonight.
Tonight? Is it pay-per-view, or is it supposed to be free TV?
Yes, it is. The prelims are going to be free. The first prelims, I think they're going to start like in a couple hours, are going to be on Facebook. And from Facebook, and UFC have done a great job marketing their product.
On Facebook?
Yes.
Yeah, man.
They stream three fights free on Facebook.
Really?
And then they get you to turn to Fuel TV. No, not Fuel TV. Yeah, Fuel TV. And then they get the last prelims on FX for free. And then you get four or five fights on pay-per-view.
Okay.
So they've done an outstanding job marketing their product. You know, you can see a couple of good fights because the young and up-and-comers that are trying to get into the business are going to be on, you know, the free one. So you know you're going to get a slobber knocker probably on Facebook. And then you go to Fuel TV, which is a channel that you got to pay for on your
mm-hmm.
cable or satellite provider,
mm-hmm.
and see some pretty good ones. And then on FX, you get the top of the line undercarders, and then you get the three or four big fights on pay per view. So they're a marketing machine, man, and they're taking over. I'm sorry to tell you, boxing is they, if boxing would have did something like that, you know, for one of their big fights, I think that would help them out a lot. But I want to get your thoughts on since you don't have any thoughts on the heavyweight title scene, what do you think about UFC's having their first women fight in the main event of one of their pay-per-views?
Hey, I watched that.
Oh, my God.
I watched that. Hey, anytime I can find two people of the opposite sex going at each other, I'm there and willing to give you my undivided attention to it.
Okay, nope. When you see, and you got to look up Ronda Rousey. You see Ronda
Who?
Rousey. Ronda Rousey. She's the champion for the women. I think they're like 135, 145 pounds or whatever. When you see her, you're like, she's a fighter? But she's cock diesel, man.
Damn.
She's cock diesel, and she submits people. She specializes in making people tap.
Making what?
Making people tap. Submit, quit, give up.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Wow, she can make me pat.
I bet she could.
What kind of thoughts do you want me to give her? I've seen on the
you
cover.
You know, I'm going to skip you.
Thank you.
Mesmerized.
Thank you.
Let me go to my cousin.
Thank you.
Mike, what do you think about women in this sport? First of all,
what'd you say?
You know what? Never mind. I don't want to talk to you about it.
Hey, you gotta check out. You have to check out Ronda Rousey, Mikel. Oh.
Oh
yeah.
Oh yeah.
I told you.
Oh yeah.
I told you.
I can't believe she's a fighter.
Didn't I say that's what you were gonna say? I told you that. But tonight's fight is for the heavyweight championship. Do you have any thoughts on the fight? Yes, no, maybe so.
No, the only thing that piqued my interest is the streaming on Facebook, you know, because I'm gonna be doing a lot more streaming on Facebook and different live shows on Facebook. So it's definitely a good business practice to do if you are if you have a business or if you have a show or something that you're marketing and putting out. That is the next thing that you need to be doing. Because Facebook allows you. Huh?
It costs a little bit of money, though, to get a live stream.
Nah, bro. Hit me up after the show.
Inbox me.
After the
I'm
show.
Gonna go see Les Miserables
yeah.
with my wife.
Yeah, hit me up after. Well, I mean, no, it don't matter. Just hit me up anytime, and I'll show you. Because if you go to Grown Soul Real Talk, there's a couple of video things that I put up just to test how powerful it is. It's very powerful, very very powerful. Yeah, so you definitely want to check that out. And
does that mean I gotta start wearing clothes when I do my shows?
Yeah, you have to start wearing clothes, wash your face, you know, all that kind of carrying on. Definitely.
All right, JT.
But no,
you know what,
but no, you could just take, you know, something, you know what I mean? Instead of, you know, doing the whole YouTube thing, you could tape it and just put it up on Facebook, and then you keep, you know, you keep garnering traffic.
Well, they're streaming live from the event. I mean, I put stuff on Facebook, videos and stuff on Facebook of an event,
mm-hmm.
but they're streaming live from the
event streaming is just another software, and I can show you where to get it, and it's really
okay.
cheap. It's really
All
cheap.
Right, well,
I'll show you how to do it.
Show it to both of us, because Jerry hosts the shows, too. I want
mm-hmm.
him to do it, but she's afraid. Hopefully when she comes back from this Buddhist thing, hopefully they didn't make her shave her head like all the other monks. But
what's they got to do with anything?
You
don't think a woman with a shaved head is sexy?
I didn't say that. You like Sinead O'Connor. This isn't the 80s. But what I'm saying is, I don't want him to have a shaved head, you know, because then we're going to put it on the air. People are like, oh, my God.
So what's wrong with that?
I would be more inclined to think that it was some fakeness going on if she didn't.
Well,
if she didn't, you know, if she didn't participate like the rest of the monks, she, you know, that ain't a good look. They was just, you know, doing a special treat. Nah, that's not a good look.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a good
look.
All right.
Here we go.
She got down like the rest of the monks. She got, you know, she cut it off like the rest of the monks.
Right.
We'll see what happens. Again, we got about 3 minutes left of live air, so we're going to end the show on those comments. I want to tell you all, every Saturday, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, you're going to get us. At least you're going to get me, but in the near future, you're going to get a lot of Jerry because I've got a lot of work to do. But
Yay!
Shut up.
I'm going to be talking this dry UFC nonsense.
Whatever. Fantasy Sports and Politics.
I think it'd be doubling in some of these shows. I think we'll be going to be jumping into some politics too. So
that's cool, because the physical
mm-hmm.
cliff issue's coming up, and we can talk
mm-hmm.
about that next Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
But on Sunday, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, you got the Master Plan with JT, ATM Money, Jerry Taylor. This week, I believe, is going to be his roundup for fantasy football wise
mm-hmm.
before he starts. Blending in a little baseball knowledge, because I really hope his mom comes on the show, because she's a wealth of knowledge.
Stop.
I'm
you know
saying,
what?
She helps you out. She
come
helps
on.
You out.
Stop being a hater.
But she has a wealth of knowledge, and with baseball season coming right around the corner, JT said he's going to blend some football and some baseball and get you all ready for the upcoming season. And I will admit, first time he played fantasy baseball, he led from week one all the way through the championship, and he won, and I had to pay him. You don't know how much that hurt.
But pay the man.
Year, whatever. This year, I'm coming with a vengeance. But that's going to be Sunday's program. Again, when
mm-hmm.
Kim Fun comes back from her Mount Everest teachings, she will be hosting Compassion Bikini at Tuesdays, 4:30 Eastern Standard Time. You'll look forward to that. Then on Thursdays, you've got the crew show, MSU crew show with Jeff Black and Jerry. I don't know what they're going to be doing over the next couple weeks other than playoff stuff, but get ready for that. Fridays, you got Mac Williams and Jerry Taylor with No Chase. I missed yesterday's show. I'll check it out later on. And my cousin, Grown Soul Real Talk, he has two shows now, one on Tuesday, one on Wednesday. Real quick, you got 20 seconds. Tell the folks real quick.
Well, on Tuesday, we're going to be giving out tissue to all the Cowboy fans. And on Wednesday, we're going to, put all the Cowboy fans all the Cowboy and Giants fans on the couch. You know, and, you know, to make them feel better, you know, because on Sunday night, Redskins!
Okay. Well, that's going to be coming up this week. But normally his shows are about adult situations, things of that nature.
Yeah, 9 p.m. each night. 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time each night, new time.
All right, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Tuesday and Wednesday, Grown Soul Real Talk here on Blog Talk Radio. Real quick, I want to say Happy New Year, Happy Kwanzaa, and all that other stuff to everybody else. We're probably going to overtime as I say goodbye. Parting shot, JT.
Well, all I got to say is I'll say it again, but on this show I'll say it. Happy New Year to you two guys. I'll probably talk to Mikal tomorrow because he called in last week. I really appreciate that. But Vic is probably going to be with the Lord at that time, or getting ready to be with the Lord.
Hopefully not dying.
No. Sunday morning being with the Lord. There's more than one way of being with the Lord. So he's going to enjoy his Sunday doing that. And with that being said, it's on Mikal.
I just want to say Happy New Year to you brothers. It's been a fabulous year hanging out with y'all. I plan to keep hanging, keep coming through and stuff like that. Hope your holidays are safe and wonderful and beautiful. Vic, you know, all as usual, you know, I still haven't gotten my Christmas card. But, you know, I still love you.
Man.
I still love you. It's all good. Still love you, bro. I ain't got no Christmas card. You know, ask me for my address and everything. Had a jewel, you know, straighten you out. Still ain't got it. That's just terrible. Just
that
terrible.
Is terrible. Terrible.
Mm.
And you blood, too, right? And you
blood. I got blood. But you know what, Jerry? He's consistent. He's consistent. That's how he is. He's consistent.
My wife mailed those cards out. You should be getting them soon, okay?
I know she mailed them out, but I know you probably didn't even give her the address, so you know. It's all good.
You know what? That's okay.
Oh man.
I have every confidence in Azure, because I know she's the one running that house. You know, you're just powerless and helpless without her. So I understand. I understand.
Mm-hmm. Can't do anything on his own. You have to leave it up to her. That's all right.
Oh yeah.
Wow. Even if it has to do with his own blood.
Can I finish?
It is what it is.
Can I finish the show? I mean, I don't want to finish the show. Just put all the bland basting of it.
Ronda Rousey. Wow.
I told you.
I still got the picture in front of me.
Hey, dude, she's here in action. She is tough as nails. I'm serious. Don't let that swing taste fool you, dude. She came in. I was like, whoa. She's a brick.
Yeah. Well she's got. She looks like she's solid. She's a Olympic judo champion or something like that. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But she can knock your block off, seriously. But anyway, I want to say again, as my parting shot, Redskins, when you're in, spend a Cowboy Christmas and New Year. Also, I want Minnesota to actually win because I want to face Minnesota over Seattle. I'd rather have Seattle come play us. And Minnesota go play either Green Bay or San Fran. You know, I don't want to play Seattle. Even though it'll be at FedEx, that will be one hell of a game to see. I'd rather play Minnesota because Minnesota is a one-trick pony and I know AP wants to get revenge on us for messing up his ACL, but there's nothing Minnesota could do to us. RGD will go up the sideline yet again and score the touchdown. So, with that being said, JT, take us out of here.
From all of us to all of you, happy holidays and have a safe one. And also, you've been listening to
Fantasy Sports and Politics.
Get ready to run.
You wanna talk smack? You in the right place.
So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got to live, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy, sports, and politics.